Good evening, everyone. Hi, thank you, Mark. Hold on, there's more than Morris. There's a few others. I'll try it again. Come on, the seers are awake. Good evening, everyone.
Amen.
That's great. Thank you, son. Nice to see you're awake as well. Now, it is a great privilege for me and my family to be with you here tonight. This is not the first time, by any stretch of the imagination, we've been in Lurgan Baptist. And Morris rightly said it. When we were serving the Lord in Chile with Gospel Mission South America, every time we were home, we would always come and speak at different youth meetings, but also at missionary conferences, etc. So it's good to be back here tonight again with you folks here in Lurgan. Now, I know there's young people from all over here tonight. Is there some from Refrain Baptist in here tonight? Thank you. You're less. That's okay. That's fine. Now, I'm sure there's other places here represented, and I don't know what else to ask. Now, there's a few familiar faces that I know, but I really feel for the ones sitting in the middle here. Now, why am I saying that? Now, where's the folks from the lifeboat? And from the barn? Yes. Who was your speaker last week? Yeah. And one of the young people from the barn, who I kindly met last week, said, "You're speaking here tonight." And I really felt for him when he said it. He was like, "If I had known that, I wouldn't have been here tonight." But I know it's good to see each one of you, and I'm sure afterwards we'll get an opportunity to have a wee chat. And I'm looking forward to the supper. Apparently it's very good, and that'll be really good as well. Now, folks, let's just bow our heads and ask for God's help before we turn to his precious word this evening. Let's ask for his help and blessing. Our loving and most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity once again to open up your holy word. Father, we thank you for your word and what it means to each one of us who know you as our own and personal Savior. Father, we thank you how your word indeed teaches us and instructs us how we should live our daily Christian lives. And Father, we thank you that there's so much in your word to teach us and to show us. But Father, more than all, we are thankful for your word indeed because we know it is inspired by you. God breathed, and it contains the living words of God. We thank you, Father, that your word is not like any other book that's ever been written. Any other book that's just been written by man contains dead words. But your word is precious to us because we know it contains the living word of God. Heavenly Father, we know that at this stage, even at this stage of the night and the time that it is, maybe we're all feeling a wee bit tired. Maybe we're thinking more about the supper that's coming after. We're not thinking about the word here, the food that's here on the table right now. Father, but help us to put away any distracting thought. Father, don't let the enemy have a foothold in this place tonight. And Father, we pray indeed that as we open up your word, as we study and go through it together, that you indeed will speak to each one of us. Father, we have a desire to know you more. We want to grow, and we want to serve you with even greater enthusiasm in the days and months ahead. Father, give help to the speaker this evening because his words of themselves have absolutely no power. But Father, I pray indeed that you will speak through him. For we ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen. Thank you very much, Morris, for the kind word of welcome, and also Richard as well for that welcome earlier on. And it's good to be back and see you all again here this evening. Folks, let's just turn your Bibles, please, to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 4, and we're turning to a very well-known portion of Scripture. We're just going to read a few verses as a type of context to the text that I want to focus in on tonight. 1 Timothy chapter 4, and we're going to just look at verses 12 through to the end of the chapter, verse 16. 1 Timothy chapter 4, and we'll begin our reading in verse 12 through to 16. And God's word says in verse 12, "Let no man despise thy youth, but be an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine, continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear you." And we'll end our reading there. And we know that God will bless the public reading of his Holy Word. Keep your Bibles open, folks. This is a Bible study. That's what we're going to do tonight. We're going to look at this particular passage that we've just read. And I want us really tonight concentrate on verse 12. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word and conversation and charity, in spirit and faith and in purity. Verse 12, as I said, is not a verse that you haven't heard before, I'm sure. It's a very, very popular verse that's read out and sometimes preached on when addressing young people because of what it contains, obviously. And it's a very key verse for young people and for young believers as well. But in its context, as we find it here in this passage, the Apostle Paul is speaking to Timothy, who was his dear friend, who was his son in the Lord, and also Timothy was a young pastor. And by the way, just to make clear what young is according to the Apostle Paul, most of the theologians agree he was around 40 years of age. So that means if you're still in your 30s and you haven't reached or bypassed 40, according to the Apostle Paul, you're still young. Are you all right there, Morris? Is that? That's what I thought. Yeah, because that's what I was holding on to until last year. And then I hit the big 4-0. And the problem is now the next birthday's coming up and it's 41. So I am no longer classified as young, even according to the Apostle Paul, but that's life. Paul was speaking directly to Timothy as a pastor, preacher, and leader. That's the context of what we're looking at here. But even though that is the context, I cannot see the problem in applying this verse, verse 12, especially to every young believer here tonight in this youth rally here in Lurgan Baptist. And the reason why I want to speak on this particular verse tonight is to explain to us how we should be living our Christian lives. So what we're going to do tonight is we're going to look closely at verse 12 and apply it to us here today or tonight. So let's just do that. And we're going to break down this verse and we're going to look at it and we're going to see what the different phrases happen to mean here. The first phrase that we have is when Paul says to Timothy, let no man despise thy youth. Well, we know the New Testament was not originally written in English. Of course, we know that it was written in what language? Greek. Okay, so whenever we go to look at a particular meaning we find here in English in front of us in our Bibles, we need to go to the original sometimes to see if we can find out more about a particular word. And the word I want us to look at as we begin tonight is that first phrase that says, let no man despise thy youth. And I want us to look at that word despise. In the Greek, the word for despise is the word kataphroneo. And kataphroneo means various things, but listen to what it means. It means despise, as we find here in the text. But it also means think bad against you. And it also means to think little or nothing off. In other words, this part of the verse could sound like this. Let no man think bad about you because you're young. Let no man think little of you because you're young. And let no man think you are of nothing because you're young. In this first part of our verse, we have a clear message from Paul. Paul's advice, his counsel for the young pastor Timothy, was not to let anyone think less of him because of his youth. But before we go on any further, we need to be careful how we now apply it to ourselves, here to every young believer in this meeting. Now, I'm not including myself because I'm now old, but I'm talking to you young people here tonight. I want this application to be for you. But we need to be careful as we apply that. But think about what I've just said. Let no man think bad about you because you're young. Let no one think you're little of you because you're young. Let no one despise you because you are young. Now, this does not mean that we are any better than the older folk in our church, that we're more important, that we're more intelligent. Because sometimes we can be guilty of what is arrogance, where we think because we're young that we're all it. But we need to be careful that no one underestimates you because you're young. That is true. But don't have an overestimated opinion of yourself either because of your youth. But sadly, in our churches today, sometimes many look down at our young people in the church. And they're very, very quick to despise or to think little of the young people that we have. Remember that if you're saved here tonight, and this is a very important part and thing to say, that if you're saved here tonight, you're not the next generation of the church. You are part of the Church of Jesus Christ, as much as any other believer. Every member of the body of Christ is important. Young or old, all are important. Do you get that tonight? You're not the next generation. You are the church. Just like the older folk are the church. If you're saved, that means you're part of the Church of Jesus Christ. And everyone is important and has a particular place within the body of Christ. Well, here are some differences between the young and the old. Maybe this will ring a bell or two. Young people, youth. It's all about change, isn't it? Want change. And have different points of view. And have different likes. In styles of clothes, maybe even in styles of music, etc., etc. That's young people. Then you have the older folk. They don't like change much. And they have different points of view than the young people. And they have different styles of clothing than the young people. And different styles of music, etc., etc. The key thing here is to keep the balance. To keep the balance. But young people, if you're saved, you're part of the church, not the next generation of the church. And young people here tonight, I want you to realize you're not less than. You're not less than. You're not less important. But you're not more important either. And you need to be careful of how you think about yourself and the place you have within the church. Then in this verse here it says, let no man despise thy youth. And the next phrase is, but be thou an example of the believers. Paul counsels Timothy, especially because of being a young pastor, he had to be above and beyond. He had to be an example of the believers. Young people here tonight, you know, just like Timothy, you too have to be an example of the believers. Not just now, but for every day of your life. When you finish your education, when you start work, you need to be an example in your workplace. You need to be an example in your school. You need to be an example in your university. You need to be an example when you get married. You need to be an example when you have a family. Always, all Christians need to be an example. And how are we to be examples? Well, here in the same verse, the Apostle Paul gives us a list of things of how we can be an example before others. But before we look at these six things that's found here in these verses, we need to make a decision. And the decision is in your hand tonight. Are you going to apply and put into practice what God's Word teaches? Are you just going to listen and say, oh, that was okay, that was interesting, or maybe that was boring, and just going to walk out of here and continue on with your life the way it was? Are you going to say and come before God tonight humbly and say, you know what, I am willing and I want to obey what God's Word teaches me, and I want to make my life make a difference for God's glory? Because we are living in a terrible time where all around us things are happening, where there's a moral decline, and to be a young person today, I believe, is even harder than it's ever been before. I know sin is sin, and from Genesis 3, sin came in. It's always been there for a long, long time. But you're living today in a day where there's so much compromise right across the board, just about everything. Where to live by the standard of God's Word is going to be very, very difficult on a day like today. So in other words, for you young people who are saved here tonight, you really have a tough job at hand. You have to, in order to be faithful to God, you're going to have to really step out and stand up and stand out to make a difference. Now, maybe you're here tonight and you're saying, but you know, Johnny, that just sounds way too hard. You know, this is Sunday night, we're about to start a new week. This is just too deep, too much. I don't want to know anything about it. No. Are you willing tonight to be a person who wants to be used of God, even in this crooked and perverse generation, who's going to stand out in this world and make a difference for God and impact this world mightily for His glory? Because I am fed up with mediocre Christianity where it doesn't cost too much. We have to take up the cross, the cross of Christ and follow him and take that cross, our burden, every day and follow him. It costs much to be a believer, to be a Christian, to follow Christ. Are you willing to obey God's word? Are you willing to say here tonight, you know what? I want to be sold out for God. Because that's what this generation needs. Young people who are going to be sold out and stand up and say, I live by a different standard. And live your life before man in such a way where people just seeing you can see the difference in you. Let's look at these words that are mentioned here in verse 12. And let's look at each one. And we're to be examples in word, conduct, charity, spirit, faith, and purity. Let's just go through them here tonight together. The first one we have there, let no man despise the youth, but be there an example of believers. How you to be an example? Firstly, in word. And that means logos. That's speech and how you speak. And it says in Ephesians 4:25, wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor. How you're to be an example of the believers before others. Be men and women, young men and women, who are truthful, honest, whose word is their bond. We're living in a society today where it's okay to tell a lie. And sadly, it's the same in the Church of Jesus Christ. It's okay to lie. And we try to say there's different levels of lying. And the little white lie doesn't matter. I remember having a conversation in Santiago, Chile, with one of the elders from our church, and he was telling about how much, as part of the Chilean culture, rather than offend, for example, say I was to say to one of the men in the church, can you come and help me with such and such on Saturday night? And because they wouldn't want to offend the pastor, they'll turn around and say to you, yes, I'll be there, pastor, on Saturday night. But they know rightly they're going somewhere else, and they can't go. That's lying. But they say, because we didn't want to offend you. And I've said, I would rather you tell me the truth and say you can't come than lie to me. Because lying is wrong. Lying is sin. And that's how the world lives by that standard. Another example. Just comes to mind. One of our elders in one of our churches in Chile was a sergeant in the Chilean police force, the uniformed police force, the Carabineros. His name was Richard Green. Well, in Spanish, Ricardo Green. Great enough, his surname stayed the same. His great granny was from Scotland. His family were Scottish. He used to play the accordion in his church and had a wee tartan, like scarf or, I don't know, blanket thing over his shoulder to help with the accordion. And it's so funny, he couldn't speak a word of English, but yet he still knew his Scottish roots. And he was Ricardo Green. And he was in a particular office downtown Santiago. And one of his colleagues was a believer too. But the standard that Ricardo lived by and his fellow colleague who made sure he told everybody he was a believer were two different things. What do I mean by that? Well, you know, sometimes people would come on the phone and look to speak to his colleague, and his colleague, who was also a believer, would say to people, would say to Ricardo, tell him I'm not here. And Ricardo used to say, I'm not lying for you. He's here, but he doesn't want to talk to you. Who was honoring God more? Ricardo. Because he wasn't going to lie. How many of you have done that on a telephone call? We need to be making the difference and standing up and standing out. That means we're to be truthful. Our word is to be true. Ephesians 5:4. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient. Do you know sometimes in school, in university, in work, sometimes conversation goes a wee bit funny. And sadly, I've been in the company of believers, and sometimes the conversation is a wee bit iffy. We are not to live by the standard of the world. We're to stand out and be different. And if you're here tonight and God is maybe speaking to you and you're feeling that, but you don't feel comfortable right now, you're maybe aggravated, you're cross with me for what I'm saying, that's maybe because God is speaking to you about it. If that's the case and you have been in that company, sort it out. Dare to be different. Don't continue that way. Ephesians 4:29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying. You know what edifying means? It means about building up. That it may minister grace unto the hearers. Ephesians 4:31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away. So what are you to do with that type of speaking? Put it away. Get rid of it. Because you're to be an example of believers in how you speak. We're not to be like the world. We're to be different. In other words, be an example in the way you speak in the house, on the street, at uni, at tech, at school, at the workplace, whatever it might be, or in church. And especially be careful whenever you're trying to witness or sharing the word to someone else. Be young men and women who are trustworthy and whose word is their bond. I worked in Lanzarote, lived in Lanzarote. We were tent maker missionaries out there before Chile, way back. I am really old, I told you. But many years ago. And I had a secular job where we were self-supporting financially. And I worked in a tourist submarine company. I'm a baker by trade, but I worked in a tourist submarine company for nearly 4 years. And I was in a marketing sales team. I loved it. Down in a private marina, absolutely beautiful place to work. And a purpose-built tourist submarine that held 44 passengers. And had different bosses. It was quite a big company. It was an international company, all different nationalities. Talk about diversity. But the big boss, the general director, was an Englishman. And whenever I went for my interview in that business, they laughed at me because I said in the middle of the interview that I was a believer. And then I never even let them have an opportunity to speak. I just went on to say, that means that I don't curse, I don't drink, I don't smoke, and I'm through and I tell the truth. I'm going to work hard. I'm always going to be in time. I'm going to try to be. And they laughed me out of the room. And I remember walking away saying, Lord, I've been faithful to you, but I've just blown it. But I'd rather be faithful to you and not have the job. They rang me on the Monday and said, can you start? Well, you know, my boss, an Englishman, no time for God. But it wasn't too long until he realized that I lived by a different standard. I had to work one Sunday on, one Sunday off, and it wasn't too long until he said, Jonathan, Sunday's important for you, isn't it? That's the day you go to church. I'm giving you Sunday off. I was the only one in the company that was getting that. But I remember one occasion we worked with all the British tour operators, and I sold to the British market, and that's what I had to do. And I can remember one occasion, Air Tours, you've heard of, you know, the Air Tours, Thompson, First Choice, all them tour operators. And Air Tours was the biggest client we had. On one occasion, there was problems with clients. And I can remember the boss of Air Tours rang my boss, the Englishman, and said, you know, one of your employees has been very cheeky and ignorant to one of our clients at the hotel. And there's about 20 staff. And my boss just said to him, remember, this is one of our biggest clients, brought in the most money for us as a business. He said, which one of my employees was it? She said, the fella from Northern Ireland. The big fella. You know what he done? Unsaved man. He just said, your clients are lying. Goodbye. Put the phone down. When I came in, did he give off to me? No. He just told me what had happened. But he said, when I heard it was you, I knew you wouldn't do that because I know that's not the way you are and that's not how you live your life. Standing up, standing out before this world. And sometimes we don't even realize it, but how much we are speaking to others because they see the difference. Okay, the next thing there in that list is conversation. And that means really, not conversation, but it means conduct or manner of conduct, manner of life and manner of behavior. So we're to be example of the believers in the way we talk and our speech, being people who are truthful, who are not going to speak like the world. But here it's telling us it's not only about how we speak, but we're to be examples of believers in how we conduct ourselves on a day-to-day basis. You know, Christianity is not just Sunday. You get that? There's a lot of people who are really look the part, act the part on a Sunday. But I would love to be a fly on the wall during the week. Because there's not much evidence. There's not much difference. And when it talks about being an example and how you speak, it's not just on a Sunday, it's about every day of the week. But when it talks here about conduct and manner of life, manner of conduct, manner of life, manner of behavior, it's how you conduct yourself, how you live your life on a daily basis. You're to be an example of the believers. A few verses here. James 3:13, the second part of that verse says, let him show out of a good conversation, of good conduct, his works with meekness of wisdom. 1 Peter 1:15, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of, it says conversation, but what it means in all manner of conduct, in all manner of behavior, we're to be holy, as he who called you is holy. Now, that's easier said than done, isn't it? And don't use the excuse, I've still got that old sin nature. I know, every one of us have. But the Spirit of God is there. And sometimes you love this whole idea about being filled with the Spirit. Let me tell you, the idea of being filled with the Spirit of God is the moment you're saved, you receive the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes and you're baptized by the Holy Spirit. You're baptized in the body of Christ. The moment you're saved, you receive the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit now dwells in you. You're sealed. And it's like this here. If I have the Holy Spirit dwelling in me, why do I need to be filled again with the Spirit that's already there? The difference is, it means the idea of being filled with the Spirit of God is where the Spirit of God controls your life. That's the main problem in the believer's life. We're being led too much by the old sin nature, the old me, the carnal me. And sadly, the Holy Spirit doesn't have hardly any part of us. And the idea of a believer is that we are to be led and controlled by the Spirit of God. Because if we live our lives to that standard, we're going to notice a difference. 1 Peter 3:16, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you, as of evildoers, they may be ashamed, that falsely accuse your good conversation, your good conduct, your good life, your good behavior in Christ. Be an example in your conduct, in your behavior, not just on a Sunday, 24/7. Now, sometimes the old sin nature comes. And one of the best examples, and lads and ladies who drive a car, who have a license, you're going to understand what I'm about to say. Sometimes, and I'm going to be the first to put my hand up. I'm ashamed of it, but sometimes the old sin nature comes in there when you're driving your car. You're all feeling it right now. Sometimes someone just does something to you and all of a sudden you're beeping the horn and you're not too happy. And that old problem of the old temper comes out. And next thing you know, we're just getting caught up in the whole thing and we're getting cross and we're coming behind and we're putting the brakes on and we're flashing the lights and we're right up in behind them and tailgating or whatever you call it. Isn't that right? Now, at that moment, are you being controlled by the Spirit of God or are you being controlled by the old sin nature? Right there, you've been controlled by the old you. And we're not to live by that standard. Can it happen? Can we fall? Can we lose sight? Yes. Does it happen to me sometimes? Yes. But I tell you this, my desire is that as time goes on, that it changes. Sanctification is continuous, continual. There's no, you know, sinless perfection here on earth. It'll not be until you see your Savior face to face and you're in your glorified body and you're changed. Then you'll be like him. There's no more sin. There's no more sin nature. But while here on earth, sanctification, being more like him, should be something that's continually where you're growing day by day. And if you're not growing, that means there's something wrong in your walk with God. More like him and less like me. That's the idea. But you know, folks, there's two examples, and it's something I keep on saying all the time and listen to Glear, the church of pastor, and I keep on saying to the folks, on many occasions I've said to them this, and I believe this strongly. You know, sometimes we feel the most important is witnessing to someone verbally, and I agree with that. We have to do that. But I say this, and I've said to the people there, but if your life does not go hand in hand with what you're about to testify to, don't talk about your Savior, because it'll not go down well. If you decide to be a Billy Bible and witness to someone, but yet you're living like a Billy Black backslider the rest of the week, the moment you go to witness or say something, it'll be brought to your attention. You are to live a life and have a conduct that stands up and stands out. You're not going to like what I'm about to say, maybe next. Christian young people should be the best students. I wasn't. But you should. You should have a desire to do your very best. Study your hardest. Be respectful to your teachers. Be respectful to the ones you sit in class with day by day. when you see someone is ignored by everyone else, show the love of Christ to that person. Sometimes, because we talk about separation, our separation makes us separate in the sense that we don't bother with certain people. I'm not saying that we are to be like the world. We're not. But we're to show the love of Christ to everyone we meet. And to represent Christ well. The next thing in that list, because time's moving on, and that's the trouble with me all the time. Don't ask the folks in the barn, they know rightly. But they're still speaking to me, hopefully, afterwards. The third thing there in that list in 12 is charity. And of course, that is the word for love. And it's talking about that special, of that agape love, which is that unconditional love, love in action. It's the love of God toward us while we were completely unworthy, when we were completely unlovable. That's the difference between the love of God, this agape love, unconditional love. John 15:13, greater love hath no man than this, than a man that lay down his life for his friends. But God commendeth his love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And that word commendeth means, but God exhibits, shows, expresses his love toward us in such a way that even while we were still his enemies, to show his unconditional love, us, love toward us, loving us when we weren't worthy to be loved, Christ died for us. That's the love of God. And if that's that agape love, that's that biblical love, God's love, and God's love is sacrificial. And we're to show that love to one another. If we were truly living the way God wants us to live, not only should we really be wonderful friends, but especially the brothers and sisters, there should not really be the same falling out, should there? You're not cool enough for me. I don't like you because of this or that. Young people, sorry, maybe just veering off here, but I just feel led of the Lord today. You know, one of the things that really I can't understand is what makes us feel that we have the right to point the finger and judge everyone else. Sometimes we get ourselves all set up and we see one of our friends, maybe from our youth fellowship or from our school who we know professes to be a believer, and maybe they've fallen in sin. And we're the first to gather round and guess what happened to her? Guess what happened to him? You know what? I knew that was going to happen to him. That wouldn't happen to me. Be careful pointing the finger. Be careful with the holier-than-thou attitude. Because any one of us can fall. And that includes me as a pastor. Any one of us can fall in sin. And the Word of God to me, the idea of church discipline is not to keep on kicking someone when they've fallen. It's to come alongside them and, yes, show them the error of their ways, but to come alongside them with your arms around them to lift them up and to help them and support them to carry them on. Where we get this idea when we see someone fall that we have to kick them when they're down. The fourth thing is spirit. Let the Holy Spirit, I've already dealt with this already, that dwells in you, guide your life. And if you let the Holy Spirit lead and guide your Christian life and everything, then your walk with God will be more gratifying. And these items mentioned on our list will be easier to do. See, the Holy Spirit guides our spiritual lives, and with the help of the Holy Spirit, we will be able to grow in our faith and become mature Christians. If you're spiritually mature, your life will be an example, whether you're young or you're old. Do you have a desire to know God more? Do you have a desire to be led by the Spirit of God in your life? To put God first in everything, in every aspect? Do you have a desire to know more and more of the Word of God, to know Jesus more, to know God more, to become more like Him? Because sometimes we have this idea that within the church, it's only people who are old who gain this spiritual maturity. That's a nonsense. I tell you, many times it is, and that's fine. But many times there's young people who have been only saved a short period of time just seem to grow so much quicker. My father, who's also a retired Baptist pastor, Eddie Ray, the ones from Refrailing are down here tonight. That's why I mentioned Refrailing, because, of course, I used to go to Refrailing myself. Way back in the day, Refrailing High School, but we'll not say anything more. But he was asked to be an elder when he was 29, Ballyclare Baptist Church, and that was unheard of in the day.
Why? Because he was spiritually mature at a young age. So you can seek after it. And then the fifth thing is faith. Of course, faith towards God. And what is faith? It's that conviction, that belief respecting man's relationship to God, believing in the truthfulness of God, and the reliance upon God and Christ for salvation, and that conviction that God exists and is the creator and ruler of all things. How is our faithfulness towards God? God's faithfulness to us is amazing. If I was to say to you, God is faithful, will you agree with me? He's faithful. Brother and sister in Christ, has he ever let you down? This is no. Remember? You know, this is no. This is yes. No. Have you let him down? I know I have. But he is faithful. Always. In every moment and in every circumstance, we are to trust totally in our God. And this is not just for a while. This is for ever. I know I've rushed through the last couple of points, but I want to try and keep to some sort of time here. But I'll finish with this last one, and this one's maybe the one that's the most touchiest of all. Purity. Purity. In this last word, we have to look at the example of what is the perfect example of purity. I'm sure tonight there's maybe some relationships here. There's maybe a few boyfriends and girlfriends here tonight. Maybe you're thinking, or maybe you're interested in someone, and maybe it's going to come the opportunity, you're going to be able to begin to go out with someone. Maybe that's just around the corner. Maybe next week, next month, 6 months, or maybe now you're in a relationship, maybe now you're going out with someone. Well, can I just talk to you tonight, believer? Purity. Young people, are you pure in your relationships with your boyfriend or with your girlfriend? Now, I know that's a taboo subject in this country, but that's what it's telling us here. According to the Word of God, the Bible, sexual relations and relationships are only for those who are married. I know the world doesn't live by that standard, but we live by God's standard, by His Word and what it teaches. You see, sexual relationships are for inside marriage. And that's God ordained. And you know, sometimes you may come here and you may look the part and you may dress the part and you have that big Bible and you give the impression to everyone around you you're on fire with God and everything's fine. But you know in that particular area of your life is not right. If that's the case tonight, deal with it. Sort it out. And live by the standard of God's word. Purity. You're not to live by the world's standards. The whole idea here of the Apostle Paul speaking to this young pastor, Timothy, was because of his youth, he had to be better and above everyone else. Because of his youth, because of being a young pastor, he would be pointed, the finger would be pointed at him. He would have to live by a higher standard again. Because you see, because of his youth, maybe as a young person, and what is the lustful thoughts, etc., etc. And he had to live a life that was separate, different. And live by a different standard, a different code. Well, young person here tonight, if you're saved, you're to live by God's standard, not the world. We have briefly went through this list tonight. And you see, I'm beginning to realize more and more as I go around and as I speak to many young people in different countries. And not only young people, ordinary people, older folk. We are great at hiding things. And we portray other things. But can I just tell you tonight, you may be able to hide everything from everyone else, but God knows exactly what you're doing and what you're thinking. And that's a stark warning. We are living, I believe, in the closing days of grace. And I believe the Lord is coming soon. The bridegroom is coming for his bride, the Church of Jesus Christ. And our Savior is going to be coming soon in the air. And he's going to take us up out of this world to be with him. And we're running out of time. And there's an urgency. And we're living in terrible times. But I want to say this. I believe for more, all more now than ever before, we can live by a higher standard. We can stand up and stand out and be different. And we can live out for him. Are you going to live out for Christ? Our church motto this year is 2015, a year for Christ. What's 2015 mean to you? Is this a year where you're going to say, you know what, see, in my school from now on, I'm going to live by that better standard. I'm going to be an example of the believers. I'm going to be an example of believers before my family, before my teachers, before my workmates, before my colleagues at school, at uni, whatever it might be. And you're going to dare to be different. And you are going to turn this world upside down for God. You see, if you're willing to live by his standard and have a desire to be used by him, there's no telling what God will do and where he'll take you to. I love the Lord. And the more I serve him, and the more I know him, and the more I study his word, the more I love him, and that stronger desire to serve him. And one of the things that we as a family love to do is to encourage people. And when I look down here tonight, I see potential. I see fantastic possibilities. I see a group of people who, if they live out their life and put God first and live by that higher standard, can turn this little province upside down. Are you willing to serve God? Are you willing to say, here I am, wholly available. As for me, I will serve the Lord. Are you willing to go anywhere that God would call you to go? Are you willing to surrender your life tonight and say, Lord, whatever you have for me, I've wasted too many years, but from tonight, from this moment, I want to serve you and no other. Are you willing to do that? Because there's the lyrics of one of the Christian songs by a group called Casting Crowns, and it's, Lord, let that sleeping giant rise. And the problem is the church is sleeping. And we're looking around us and we're seeing everything that's going on, and we feel defeated. But yet God is still on the throne. There's still a work to be done. God is still very much in the business of saving precious souls. We're still in the day of grace. There's a work to be done. Are we going to waste the time that's left? Or are we going to go out there and serve him with all our hearts? That's my desire. And my prayer for you tonight is if God is challenging you, speaking to you tonight, that you'll be willing to say, Lord, whatever you want, wherever you want, I'm willing. Because I tell you this, the Lord's work needs people today more than ever before. And there's a work to be done. May God bless his word to our hearts. Let's just close in prayer. I think we're sort of more or less in the time scale, I'm not sure. But let's just close in prayer. Our loving and most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for what your word teaches us. Father, some people say that your word is not applicable for today. That's no good today. Not needed today. That's nonsense. Your word is valid today and needed today more than ever before. Father, the standards of what your word teaches us is a fantastic standard, the very best of standard. Even morally, ethically. But yet, Father, we're living in a world where there's the decline of not only morality, but what it even is the family. Father, help us all to be willing to serve you with all our hearts. Knowing that it's not going to be easy. knowing they were going to suffer. And many, many times even suffer persecution for standing up for a faith. But surely, Father, it's greater to serve you and to be faithful to you and to your word than to compromise and give in to man and the fear of man. Father, help us to be a people who fear God and who have a desire to follow him, be led by him every step of the way. Father, this group of young people here tonight, Lord, maybe you're even going to be speaking to someone about serving you in some capacity, whether locally, nationally, or internationally. Father, may they be obedient to your call. Father, may out of this place we see Spurgeons, Moody's, Amy Carmichael, Gladys Aylwards, who are sold out for you. And Father, may you take and use these vessels and use them mightily for your glory. Father, give us all a burden for souls like never before. Father, help us to be careful in how we speak and in how we conduct ourselves before others. May we always remember that we are ambassadors of Christ and we are his representatives here on earth, and we are to represent our Savior well in everything we do. Father, thank you for your presence with us. And thank you for this youth rally, month by month, and all the different speakers and all the different ones are involved. We thank you for each one of them. Father, may they be encouraged that this is such a worthwhile ministry. And Father, we just pray indeed that the young people here will serve you and no other. Father, if there's any in our meeting tonight who's not saved, he maybe can't live by this standard because they don't know you as their own personal Savior. Father, may they realize that Jesus died on the cross for their sin. And he came to be their Savior, to take their sin away, to cleanse them from all unrighteousness. Work and move, Father, we pray. Father, as well, we thank you for the good things that have been provided. And we pray indeed you will bless them to our bodies. And thank you for the hands that provide it, Father. And always remember, in those that don't have, that you'll provide for them as well. And then later on, Father, as we all go our separate ways, Father, we pray especially for every young person who's driving a car tonight. Take each one home safely, Father, we pray. In Jesus' precious name, amen.